Well, the Lord be with you. I'd like to welcome everybody here, guests and visitors. We're glad you could come out and be with us here today. I want to thank Miss Ann for playing for us today. We generally don't miss a beat when Jan is not here, and we won't today, and we appreciate her filling in for us. Do not forget that we do have the Bible studies this week. Plenty of opportunity for you to come and learn more about God. I've got two that'll be on Mondays, 10:30, 7 p.m., communion and prayer. The vicar has his on Wednesdays at 6:30 in the evening. We are going to have a Jesse's Ride fundraiser. It is an oyster stew, potato soup, hot dog meal. Come on out and join us. We're going to have a good time with that next week, right after church. Also, if you haven't seen our new blog series that we've got up, me and the vicar are putting stuff up about every week now. We appreciate it. Please share those. The more shares we get, the more folks we can get to maybe view those and can hear the Word of God, and it's a great way to witness and to share Jesus with others. You can evangelize with just a push of a button. Also, I want to let the Own Wings members are taking up things for the battered women's shelter. They need those by the 24th, so that's next Sunday. They need all those items. The senior citizens are going on a trip to the Rowan County Museum. That's the 20th, this Wednesday, 9:30 a.m., the bus is leaving. So you can learn more about that. But 9:30, the bus will be leaving. Also, the cemetery will be clean March the 1st. I repeat, the cemetery will be clean March the 1st. Our blood drive is Sunday, March the 3rd, so be aware of that. Also, we'd like to express our sympathy to Anisha Covington Harris and her family upon the death of her father, Bill Covington. His funeral was here yesterday, and he was buried over at West Park Baptist Cemetery. Anything that maybe we've missed, any announcements or concerns that maybe we've missed? Just one last thing. I hope everybody invited somebody to church. Please invite somebody to church every week. That's something we all should and can do, and we hope that you'll do it. Let's all stand as we're able for our confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sin, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit so that we may live and serve you in newness of life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Sight where illusions fly, hold on to you. Please be seated if you would. This time we'll have the children come forward for the children's message.
Everybody, how y'all doing? Everybody doing good? Good morning. How y'all doing? Good? Everybody good? Good. All right, I want to talk to you about something that's in one of our readings today. And who knows anything about trees? Anybody ever seen a tree before? Anybody? Good. There's some trees around, right? And when you have a tree, what do you see? You see the tree trunk that goes up. What else? The branches? Anything? Leaves? Yeah. Is there any part of a tree that you know about but you can't always see? The roots. Exactly, yeah, the roots. And in one of our readings today, it talks about the person who trusts God being like a tree with roots that go real deep, and then if God's like the stream of water that feeds the tree, then the roots suck up all the water. And the tree is very strong, and the tree doesn't have to be afraid of anything. Because what happens if a tree doesn't get any water? Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it'll die. Why? Because it gets weak, and it doesn't get the stuff that it needs, the nutrients that it needs, and it will fall over if there's a lot of wind or anything like that, right? But the person who trusts in God is like a tree with good roots that go into real close to the stream, and it gets all the stuff that it needs, and it's very strong. And then, if anything bad happens, hey, bud, what's up? What? If anything bad happens to the tree, it's strong enough. Any wind that comes or anything that happens to the tree, it's real strong, and it won't fall over. And that's what we should be like. We should trust in God, and when we do, God gives us all the things that we need so that no matter what happens in life, we can be strong. And guess what? Another reading today talks about how since Jesus was raised from the dead, then we never truly die. And so all of the things that happen in this life will be okay. And then everything after that will be with God forever. Isn't that good? All right, so let's remember to have good roots, to have trust in God, and then we'll be like a really strong tree. Sound good? All right, let's pray and you can get a sucker. Dear Lord, we thank you for allowing us to know you and for loving us so much and for being like a stream that feeds us and gives us everything we need so we can be like a strong tree, and no matter what happens in our life, we'll be strong enough to stand. In your name we pray, amen. All right, y'all. Please stand if you're able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, graciously hear the requests of your people. May we who are afflicted for our sins be mercifully relieved for the sake of your glory, to find new life through the love of Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning, Oregon family. Good to see everybody out here today on this rainy day. Today I'm singing about that lovely four-letter word, love. From the love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best song. Faithful, loving service to him belong. Love lifted me, yes, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
In the love of God by passing the peace to one another.
Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
I'm glad to see that boy here.
And I got him here.
I love you, my friend.
He's
all boy.
He is.
Don't
absolutely
forget. You be good.
Yours gonna be that way too.
Oh, I can't wait to see. Many blessings,
peace
Sarah.
Be
peace, peace be with
you.
Him, the peace be with you.
Peace be with
I think
you.
I'm just going to peace.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you,
peace be with
my
with
friend.
You, sir.
Lord, if anybody needs peace, it's you. Living with what you deal with. Peace be with you, my friends. Peace
thank
be
you.
With you. Peace be with you, Terry. Peace be with you, Jim. Hey, no, you say you're going to break somebody in pieces. Is that what? Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, Carolyn. Many blessings. Many blessings. Amen. Peace be. Pretty good at it. I got my eyeball on you, Nelson. All right. I guess we'll go into our readings now.
Our first reading comes from Jeremiah 17th chapter. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots to the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Here ends the reading. Let us read responsibly Psalm 1. Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful. They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper. Therefore, the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteous. The second reading comes from 1 Corinthians 15th chapter. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach and so you believed. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Here ends the reading.
Now the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter. Listen very closely to the ailments that Jesus discusses. This is Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out of him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for so their fathers did to the false prophets." This is the gospel. Please be seated. I apologize, I missed a line there. I want to make sure we get that in. Woe to you who are now, who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. I apologize. Sometimes we're human and we miss things. That does happen from time to time. I have seen a theme, and I think you have, in these texts. As the vicar talked about, of a tree standing by the water. Jesus talks about some of the bad things that can happen, and happy are you, blessed are you, when those things happen. Some of you will recognize this person that I'm going to discuss with you for just a moment. But when I was at Catawba College, I had the opportunity to take a class, a speech class, with Dr. Hales. Many of you have read and know Dr. Hales. He's kind of famous, I guess, in this area. Most everybody knows Dr. Hales. Wonderful class, wonderful gentleman, and I appreciate all that he taught us. And during this speech class that we had with Dr. Hales, he let something be known. And I think he is a man of great faith, if I read him correctly. And he said, we all, if we're going to come across to people, and if we're going to make a difference in this world with the things that we say, we must believe and talk about things that are bigger than ourselves. And I think that Jeremiah and the psalmist and the Apostle Paul and even Jesus would agree with Dr. Hales, because that's what they are discussing here. There must be something bigger than yourself if you're going to stand in the midst of trials, if you're going to stand in the midst of the happenings of this world. You've got to have something bigger than you. It's got to stand bigger than us. Let's go back and look at Jeremiah for just a moment. Jeremiah says, cursed. Cursed, now that's harsh words. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, is saying that if you're going to trust in yourself, if I'm going to trust in me and my strength, my understanding, if you're going to do the same or anybody, we're cursed. That's harsh words, but that's the words of the prophet. If you're going to do it your way or the highway, it's got to be what I want. Me, you, anybody, we're cursed. It ain't going to happen. We are in dire straits if that's the way we handle things. But that is primarily the way we go about things. We live in an individualistic world. We want to look to ourselves. We want to be self-sufficient. That's great. That's wonderful. But there does come a time that we must rely upon Christ, and we must put him first in each and everything, and hear him and trust in him. Because here's what else the prophet says. He says that the man that trusts in himself, he is like a shrub. A shrub. A shrub, you kind of get a bad bad thing. It's an old dead bush, basically, is what that's kind of image I think we get here from that. In the desert, an old dead bush in the desert. How would you like to see a shrub in the desert? It's not going to last very long. And shall not see any good come. A bush in the desert, no water, no nutrients, can't get any roots, and it's going to die. And that's what happens to us if we trust in ourselves. If all we have is this world, and this is all, then we're saying, he shall dwell in parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Now, salt's fine and good for certain things, but if you've got a bush, and I'm not a very good, I'm a horticultural idiot. Now, some of you here know a lot about growing and planting, but I take it that it's not good to have salt on a plant. I take it it'll kill a plant real fast if you have salt. I've heard people tell me that if you're going to cut a tree down, I've got some trees to cut down up in my place up in West Virginia, and he said, drill some holes and put some salt in there. He said, that'll help kill that root. I take it that's true. I mean, I hope the man knew what he's talking about. It certainly can't be good for something to be in a salt land. Good, salt's got its purpose, but not when it comes to bringing the nutrient that a bush needs. Now, here's what else he says. Blessed, is the man who trusts in the Lord. Trusts in that thing that's bigger than him, in the Lord. Whose trust is in the Lord. Who places it all in God's hands. Who says, here it is, God. I can't do anything, so I'm giving it to you. That's what salvation is. That's what we must do in life. We must give him everything. We've got to give him this church. We've got to give him our children. We've got to give him all the groups in this church. We've got to give him every aspect of that, our finances, our jobs. We've got to give it all to him because we can't trust in ourselves because we oftentimes have wrong motives and oftentimes we don't see the picture that God sees. We need to trust in him. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by the water that the vicar was talking about. Gets those roots down deep. And he says that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. The psalmist also talks about being a tree planted by the water. Jesus is the living water. We need to be planted in him, letting our roots grow in him and in this word. He is that sustenance that we need if we're going to grow up and be strong and to be able to stand. And then Paul says this, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand. Now here's the thing, if you're going to stand, and we're not talking about, well, somebody just hurt your feelings or somebody unfriended you on Facebook, things that we might get upset about that mean nothing, or, you know, somebody cut you off to get the parking spot over at Food Lion or something of this nature. We're not talking about that. That's first world problems. No, we're talking about real problems here. In Paul's day, you remember, it's illegal to be a Christian. They could come drag you out. They could kill you for any reason they wanted to. They could kill your children. They could rape your wife in front of you. It's ugly, but yes, this is the truth. You better have something to stand on, and you better have some sustenance. You better have more than just a glib platitude or generality like we like to live off of today, or that, oh, I've got a praise and worship song, and it's great, and you feel good for about a half hour. You better have more than that. You better have something that's deep, and that's Jesus, and we've got to let those roots go deep down into Christ. You've got to have some substance, and Jesus is that substance. And he says this, remember the gospel. How do we have that substance? Paul gives it to us right here, lays it out. Remember the gospel I preached to you. We got a lot of gospels being preached today. But there is the gospel of Jesus, and then there are all others. You need to reach down and look for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's found in the Word of God. It's found in the Scriptures. One of the reasons we started this blog series is there is enough stuff on social media that is bad theology. And we wanted to try to give a little bit of halfway decent theology and some sound Bible study to folks, because I see stuff all the time, and they get it from a lot of different sources, and most of the time it's horrible, it's bad, it doesn't line up, and it's hurtful and it's harmful in many ways. You've got to have something to stand upon. What will your roots be in? Is it going to be in you? Is it going to be in Jesus? Jeremiah says we can have this root system that goes deep because we can have it in Christ. We can have it in the Word of God, says Paul, says Jeremiah, says others. He says this. He says, I preach to you this gospel which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are what? Being saved. Salvation is not a one-time shot, my friend. It is a continuous thing that happens all the time. Paul is talking about that right here. He saved us, he continues to save us, and he will save us into the future. It is a continuous thing. It's something, it is a continuous work of God that he is doing. And Paul says you need to hold fast to the gospel. He says, unless you believed in vain. He says, now if you're not going to believe in this word, then you're believing in vain. Your belief is in nothing unless you believe in that. If all you believe is in something that has no substance, if all you're believing is, like a lot of what modern day preaching is I'm going to get money, you ain't got much to rest your laurels upon. I want something more than that when I am in great and dire need. I want you to think about something for just one moment with me. And you don't have to tell this, but I want you to think about, what is your greatest fear? We don't like to talk about our fear. What is your greatest fear? Think about it. What is that greatest fear? How would you get through that greatest fear? How would you deal with it? I've had my greatest fear come to life when I got a call and said my kid took his own life. That was my greatest fear. You know what my other greatest fear is? That I'll lose another one. That's my greatest fear. I'm not here to get sympathy from you, but that's my greatest fear. The only thing that got me through that was just Christ. It wasn't some mega ministry. It wasn't some fraudulent thing that was happening. It was Jesus Christ. And a lot of you helped me with the love and other things that you've shown me and my family through that. That's my greatest fear. What's your greatest fear? Think about it for what would get you through that? Is your faith the type that will get you through that? Because I'm going to tell you, I about didn't make it through. It's tough. It's hard. I'm not talking small stuff here. I'm talking big stuff. When the devil truly comes calling, your roots deep in Jesus Christ, or are your roots just on the surface? Your tree going to fall over. You see, no, they've got to be deep. We've got to have something. And here's more that Paul tells us. He says, for I delivered unto you as of first importance, he said this, that Christ died for our sins. You got to remember, Christ died for your sins. You no longer have to sit and worry about your salvation. Jesus has taken care of that for you. There's nothing you can do. Jesus died for your sins. Sometimes when we want to try to hold ourselves up and not forgive what God has already forgiven, we're putting ourselves holding ourselves at a higher standard when we can't even forgive ourselves. God forgave our sins. He was buried. You don't bury somebody that's not dead. And finally, he was raised on the third day. Raised on the third day. Why is that important? Because as Paul says here at the end, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most pitiful, most to be pitied. If all we got is just here in the now, if all that is this building, if all that is just what we're dealing with right now, then we're pitiful. We're absolutely to be pitied. Now we've got something bigger. We have eternal life. We have resurrection hope. Our sins have been forgiven. And you need something to stand upon when the world comes calling and when Satan comes calling. I want to leave you with this. Some of you may have seen this movie. There was, in fact, it was on last night. It was on the History Channel last night. There was a movie called Hacksaw Ridge. It's based upon a story of a soldier whose name was Desmond Doss from, I think, around Lynchburg, Virginia area. World War II soldier. Desmond Doss did not believe in killing because he took a stand and he said, I am a conscientious objector, not very popular in the day and in the time. But he joined up into the military, even though he said, I will not carry a weapon, I will not harm another human being because God tells me not to. Now, most of us understand, Luther even writes, may soldiers be saved, talks about soldiers going to war and all that. He talks about that. But this man had convictions, and he stuck up with his convictions. He was beaten by his comrades in the barracks. He was harassed by his sergeants, by his captain, by others. He was totally harassed. They tried to run him out of the military, but he would not give up. They gave him KP duty left and right. They had him scrubbing toilets every day. It's not fun to do that. Everybody goes in the military eventually does that. But they gave this to this man constantly. They harassed him. Nobody trusted him. His commanders and others said, when we get into combat, this man will not help you. This man is not there for you. But yet, and this is based on a true story, when the rubber met the road and they went into combat against the Japanese, there was nobody who did more for his country and for his brothers in arms. Desmond Doss. Countless lives were saved, and this man didn't even have a rifle. He was a medic, and he saved countless lives. As a matter of fact, he is the, as far as I know, the only conscientious objector, the only man who walked into battle not carrying a weapon to defend himself with, who was awarded the Medal of Honor. I think about that for a minute. This man had convictions. This man had courage. His roots ran deep. You don't have to agree with it. I'm not saying you can't take a weapon into combat. But I'm just saying this man stood for something. And when all the world was against him, it seemed, he stood upon the principles that God had placed upon him, that God had put in him. He stood. Could you and I do that? Would you and I do that? I hope and pray that we would. I pray today that if the devil comes calling, if hurt comes your way, that if the unthinkable happens, and I pray, God, that it doesn't. I pray for you often, all the time. I pray for your blessing. I pray for you to prosper and be in good health. But when the bad does come, and inevitably it will, I pray that your roots run deep into Jesus Christ and that you have something of substance to base your faith upon when the devil comes calling. Amen.
Thank you.
Now let us confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, ever-living God. But chiefly we are bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of our Lord, for he is the true Passover Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who by his death has destroyed death, and by his rising has brought us to eternal life. So with Mary Magdalene and Peter, and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, praise your name. Join.
Holy, 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 earth are full of your glory. Oh, Hosanna, oh, Hosanna, oh, Hosanna in the high. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and the suffering, who preached good news to the poor, who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering therefore his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out your Holy Spirit that by this holy communion we may know the unity we share with all your people in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now, forever. Amen. Now let us pray the way our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We now invite all baptized Christians to join us in the Holy Eucharist today. And we do have a gluten-free option, and we're going to have a continuous communion. So please be seated at this time.
Now may the body and blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
your roots be deep.
And serve the Lord.